Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. Good to see you here today. Happy Father's Day as well. We're so glad that you are here. And let me just, everybody's asking, so let me just tell you, no, we don't have a baby. We are headed to Tennessee as soon as we say amen two more times, this one and the next service. They're going to induce her Tuesday morning. So if she doesn't have it between now and Tuesday morning, she and I both will be admitted to the hospital Tuesday morning. Okay? So we're looking forward to that. I am so excited about this brand new series that we're starting today called Moving Beyond Your Past. Okay? Because even though you can't see it, every person in this room has a giant suitcase in their arm that they're carrying along. And that suitcase is your past. Now, for a lot of us, maybe for most of us, you know, there's all kinds of great things in that suitcase. You know, fond memories, things that were exciting, you know, things that were joyful, that helped shape us and who we are today. A suitcase is full of great stuff. It's also full of a lot of not so good stuff. You know, regrets, you know, things that people have said or done or whatever. You know, everybody here has been betrayed by somebody. Everybody here has been labeled by somebody. Everybody here has been lied to and hurt. And we carry around that bitterness. We carry around that resentment. We carry around that unforgiveness in this giant suitcase, and it's always there. And even though you can't see it, it's there. Okay, so maybe you need to turn to the person next to you and say, nice suitcase. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? But see, it's not the suitcase, it's what's inside. It's what's inside. And you know, here's the thing. Even if your suitcase is full of fond memories and joyful experiences and, you know, a wonderful childhood, we still need to move beyond that. Because God is always more concerned about our today and tomorrow than he is about our yesterday. And even if our yesterday is just full of glee and happiness, we still need to move beyond it and understand that we can't just sit around being thankful and looking back fondly at the past, because we need to move on. And those of us that are here today, and it's probably all of us to one degree or another, that has a suitcase that's full of regrets and hurts and bitterness and resentment, we certainly need to learn to move beyond that. So for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm not sure exactly how long we're going to spend this, probably 5 weeks, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, you know, next week we're going to talk about the key is unforgiveness, is forgiveness, not unforgiveness. The key is forgiveness. The key is forgiving those things and those people that are in the past. We're going to talk about some practical things that we can do to help to move beyond our past. And today I would like to start by talking to you about labels. Talking to you about labels and specifically, you know, breaking free, moving beyond the labels that we've put on ourselves or others have put on us. Somewhere in your past, somebody's called you something. Somebody's characterized you in one way or another. Maybe even ourselves, we believed a lie. I'm going to tell you about a young man named Mike later on in the sermon. We believed a lie about ourselves, and we live up to that. But as we get into this morning, I want you to think that way about labels. We all carry labels. Let me show you how. I'm gonna say a name, and I want you to finish it. Okay? I see how we do with this morning. If I said Attila the, that's a label. Did you know that? It's not a last name. That was a label that was placed upon you. If I said Conan, what would you? Did I hear somebody say O'Brien? Okay. See, that's a younger generation, all right? No. That's a name. Conan O'Brien is a name. Conan the Barbarian. Okay? He was known as that. You know, let's do a little bit lighthearted here. What if I said Winnie the Pooh, right? Everybody, we all get that one. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we all understand labels. If I said Billy the Smokey the, see, we know labels. And here's the thing, folks. Every one of us here this morning, we have a label. We have a label that somebody has put on us, or a label that we've put on ourselves. But one way or another, we all carry around labels. Sometimes they're very negative labels that follow our name. And here's the thing, folks. Because that is true, you really need to believe this statement. God's power is always bigger than your past. God's power is always bigger than your past. Can you say that with me? God's power is always bigger than your past. Say it again. God's power is always bigger than your past. Do we believe that? You see, I think on some level we might understand that, but do we really believe that? Because I think a lot of times we look at statements like that and we think one of two things. Either we think about ourselves and we say things, or we think things like, you may believe that, you may understand that about you, but not about me. In other words, God's power is not always bigger than my past, because you don't know my past. You don't know what's in my past. You don't know where I've been and what I've done and what I've gone through. You don't know the things to the extent of my disobedience, to the extent of the hurt that I've brought onto my own life and my family's life. You see, a lot of times people look at that statement, they say, you know what, that statement's not true, not because of God, but because of me. But then there's other of us that think, you know, that statement's not true, not necessarily because of me, but because of God. They don't believe that God has that kind of power. Listen to this verse, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, let me take a minute and just underline a couple of words in this verse that are very important. Just a couple of words. All of them. You see, every word of that verse is so true. You know why? Because God's truth about you is bigger than any current truth in your life. In fact, if you own a label that truthfully you deserve, in many ways, it's true about you. I want you to understand that what's true today is that God can give you a new truth. That doesn't have to be the truth about you. I believe with all of my heart that God has the power to make something new out of you and me. That's exactly what it says. Anyone who belongs to Christ. That means anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you come from, how bad your past is, how true the label is about you. It doesn't matter who you are. Anyone who belongs to Christ. I mean, if you've repented of your sins, if you've submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old has gone. What is it? Say it with me. The old life, what? Is gone. And a new life has begun. If you are in Christ, all the old is gone and you are new in Him. And because that is true, let me give you a few things that will help you wrap your mind and heart around this truth. God gives us some things, okay? God gives us some things. He gives us an ability to overcome these labels and our past. What does He give us? He gives us a new name. He gives us a new name. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2 says, you will be called a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. I love that passage. You see, many of you, many of us here today were held back by something that we've believed, something that other people have called us. Our Lord will bestow upon us a new name. It's a bit like a girl when they're dating. They've been told that if a girl dating a guy she likes, she'll take his name and his last name and put them together on a piece of paper, and to put X's and O's and heart and maybe an arrow through it or whatever. You know, did you ever do that, girls? You know, you kind of loved somebody and you practice writing their name with your name, right? How many? All of you, right? I know. God says that He's going to give us a new name. We read in the Old Testament about Abram and Sarai. God gave him a new name. We read about a guy named Jacob. His name meant swindler, trickster, huckster. God gave him a new name, Israel. Why? Because he wrestled with God. In Judges chapter 6, we read about a guy named Gideon. He was a scaredy cat. God came to him and said, he called him a mighty man of valor. New name. I don't know if I ever told you this or not. I don't think I have, but you know, when my father, I told you about my dad. I wasn't raised by my father. He wasn't in my family. But my dad's name was Elton, E-L-T-O-N. My dad's name was Elton. Now imagine if my family had been really, you know, good and my dad had been in my life and I'd been born. I was named after my grandfather. Actually, after my dad's father is who I was named after, Jonathan. But imagine if my dad had been my life and everything would have been good, and if I'd have been named after my father and my grandfather, you know, you could see me at the mall and you could say, this is my, I don't want to introduce you to my pastor. This is Elton John. I said that first service, and one of the young mothers said that her little daughter looked at her and said, Mommy, who is that? She told her a flamboyant evangelist on the other side of the pond. Anyway, there's something about a name though, right? God gives us a new name. Think about that. Why does he give us a new name? Well, because of what we've been labeled in the past no longer has to be true. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over again in my own life. I remember when I was a kid, when I was in grade school and middle school and everything, and I was an average student. And I remember my mother saying, John, just as long as you try your best, that's all that matters. And you know, I was an average student, like many of you or most of you was an average student. And I found out later on, you know what, I didn't have to be average, that I was smart enough to be really intelligent. Now, I know you guys can't understand how that would be. But, right? I mean, don't you ever get to that point? It's like somebody calls you something for so long. You're just normal. You're just average. You're just run of the mill. And then you believe it. And you believe that you can't become anything else. A lot of us think here today that because of the name that we were given, who we are historically, that we don't never have a chance to be anything different. But God says, I'm going to give you a new name. You don't have to be held up by the labels that others or yourself, that you put on yourself. Secondly, God gives us a new purpose. God gives us a new purpose. I love Matthew 16, verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, and I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. Think about it. With a new name comes a new purpose. You see this over and over and over again in the Bible. My favorite example of this is with this guy named Simon. I mean, he was labeled as unpredictable, undependable, wishy-washy, a hothead, always putting his foot in his mouth. But Jesus says to Simon, you're a fisherman. You've been fishing for fish. But I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to call you not Simon, but you're going to be called Peter, which means a rock, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, he's going to be a world changer. He's going to be an evangelist. God said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new purpose. And along with this new name came a new purpose. Along with this new identity, gave him a new reason to live. And I love this, the context here that I shared with you with this scripture. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, some people say that you're this or that, Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And he looked at Simon and he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon said, I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied to him, Matthew 16, 17, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Simon, I'm giving you a new name. You are now Peter. Peter means rock. You're no longer undependable, but now you are a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I'm giving you a new name. I'm giving you a new purpose. You are the rock, and I'm going to build my church on you, this rock. Now, here's the thing, folks. Think about this. Was Peter ever a rock? I mean, was there ever a time in Peter's life before this episode that he ever would have been considered a rock? No, he was anything but, wasn't he? Hothead, undependable, unpredictable, always doing something rashly without thinking. But yet after this, Jesus said, "You are a rock." Now I think you know the story. Peter denied Jesus not once but three times. Then after the resurrection, Jesus graciously forgave him, restored him, said basically, "Go do what I created you to do." And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached to thousands and thousands of people. His sermon was repent, be baptized, and thousands of people did just that. Now, tradition tells us later on that when he was going to die a martyr's death, he refused to die a crucifixion death like Jesus did, but he requested to be crucified upside down rather than to be hung on a cross like his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, folks, here's the beauty of this. God is going to give many of you, he offers to all of us here today this new name, and with that new name comes a new purpose. And you will grow into that purpose. And here's the best news. I want you to take whatever negative label that's ever been associated with you and your name and your background, take that label and understand that with the power of Christ, one of the greatest weaknesses of your past, God can turn around and use as a great strength for you and his future. Out of the greatest weakness, God can raise up the greatest strength. And then here's the third thing. God gives us a new future. Think about this, a new name. You'll be called a new name. The mouth of the Lord will bestow. God gives us a new purpose. You're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. God gives us a new future. I love Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." See, because it's easy to stand in places like this and think, you know what? My life is never going anywhere. My life is never going to get any better. My life, I'm never going to be happy. I'm always going to be alone. I'm always going to be miserable. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm always going to battle this alcoholism or whatever it might be. On and on and on and on. Listen, don't you dare insult God with faithlessness about your future. He says here that I know your future, and your future I have for you is to prosper you. So even if you're here today and you've always been labeled, you know, always a bride's babe, but never a bride, I'm telling you, your wedding can come. And whatever you see and dream of in your future, it can be a reality. You see, Jesus is the one, he can take prostitutes and turn them into dynamic servants of him. And just like you today, some of you feel this burden that you're never going to be. But always remember this, folks, you are not what anyone else says about you. It is so easy to think that our today and our tomorrow is determined what people thought about us yesterday. And God has always been in the business of giving people a new name, a new purpose, and changing their future. And we can trust him today that he can do that for all of us as well. Did you ever hear the story about, Jim Dobson, James Dobson, Focus on the Family? I heard him tell this story many, many years ago. It's actually someone that he knew who had a baby. And they named the baby Michael. Michael. And the dad, jokingly, when he held his newborn son for the very first time, he called him Mean Mike. He put that label on him. He said, "Yeah, this is my son. This is Mean Mike." Now this little guy grew, beautiful child. He got to be two, you know, those those terrible twos. And his dad said to him, said, you know, yeah, he's turning out just like I thought he would. Yep, he's Mean Mike. Mean Mike. And this little kid, he got into all kinds of trouble, and his dad always called him Mean Mike. Yeah, this is my son, Mean Mike. And then when he went to school, he was always fighting, always causing trouble, always doing things and disobeying the parents. And the father, instead of helping this child grow, helping this child mature, helping this child understand how to be good and to do right, he always called him, yep, he's just what I thought he was. He's Mean Mike. And he got a little older, and he got in high school, and he went out and he played football. And his dad always told him, "Yeah, son, you want to be Mean Mike out there. You want to find somebody and you want to hit him." And he used to cheer for him from the stands. Mean Mike, that's my son, Mean Mike. Mean Mike grew up. Mean Mike Garrett graduated from high school. He continued to get into trouble. A few years later, he was in jail, having committed some kind of crime. He made a phone call back home, and his dad answered and accepted the charges. He said, "Hey, Dad." And his dad said, "Hey, how are you, Mean Mike?" And you see, that young man never became anything else because of the label that his father placed on him the day that he was born. And you see, I don't think that it was because of DNA or anything else that made that young man mean. I just think it was because of what his father expected of him and what he believed him to be. And the young man lived up to that name, to that label. So here's the point for all of us today. If we are in Christ, we don't have to wear that label anymore. Now, here's the thing. You don't have the power to get yourself where you need to be. You need the power of Christ in your life. Who's Christ? He's the Son of God. God sent His Son Jesus, born without sin, lived a perfect life, died for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, raised Him 3 days later, and now Scripture says that anyone who calls on His name will be saved, forgiven, transformed. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new person. The old is gone and the new has come. So we do not have to be defined by what we were. We can always be something else. And there are many of you, many of us here today. And we need to realize that God has brought us to this moment, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we can call on His name. Today is the day that our sins can be forgiven, that they can be washed away, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we never have to be the same again. We don't have to live up to those labels that were placed on us. God can give us a new name, a new purpose, a new future, defined by who we are in Him. So that's my prayer for all of you today. That as we pray and sing here in just a few moments, that we lay down all the labels that people have placed on us, or labels that we've placed upon ourselves, the limitations that we thought we could never rise above, and that we accept by God's grace and mercy and forgiveness that if we are in Him, that we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You today for the beauty of this wonderful passage of Scripture. That anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And God, there's a lot of us here today that thank You for that new life that has begun in You. There's some of us here today, Lord, that need to accept that new life. And I pray, Father, that for all of those that are here today that are in that position, that, Lord, that they know that right now in this moment, at this place, that they can invite that, they can invite that into their life, into their heart, into their soul, into their spirit. That, Lord, they don't have to be defined by their past, by who they were in their past, by who raised them in the past. They don't have to be defined by labels that were put on them in the past or labels they put on themselves in the past. They don't have to be defined by past bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. But Lord, that we can leave all of that in the past and start brand new. So I pray, Lord, that right now as we sing about this wonderful grace, this amazing grace, that, Lord, all of us could reach out and embrace the beauty of that new life in you. And then together, Lord, may we encourage one another with that new name and that new purpose and that new future. And that, Lord, we wouldn't expect what we've always expected, but, Lord, we can expect what you desire for us. May it be so, Lord, as we sing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.